sort of thought that America was ready to embrace a film that just happened to be about two guys that were gay, but was really just about relationships.
Can I call you back?
Do we have company?
Yes.
Wear a condom.
Well, you told me, honey, hush, but I ain't gonna shut my mouth.
Don't ever change your beautiful diet way.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Fear and marriage rights enter the Australian elections campaign, get all over the guy who wrote and stars in a new gay romantic comedy, and uppity blues and more than pop debuts provide the new words and music from the audiophile. All that and more this week as we celebrate the 700th edition of This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 25th, 2001. Legal recognition of same-gender partners is now a significant issue in Australia's federal elections campaign. This week, Prime Minister John Howard restated his position that gay and lesbian couples should not have equal marriage rights. Howard's Conservative Party opposed domestic partner rights in three recent parliamentary votes, including one which sank the government's own major pension reform bill. In a radio broadcast discussion with a group of students, Howard said, "I don't believe in gay marriage, for example. I don't think our society would support that. We should be completely tolerant and fair-minded about people's sexual preferences. I don't think people should be in any way discriminated or penalized against if they are homosexual. But I certainly don't think you should give the same status to homosexual relationships as you give to marriage."
The opposition Australian Labor Party, or ALP, which has actually voted against partner rights 8 times in the last 5 years, despite some of its members' stated support, seized the opportunity to distinguish itself from the ruling coalition. ALP leader Kim Beazley said on national television that the Howard government is behind the times. He stated publicly for the first time that gay and lesbian couples should be recognized under all laws applying to heterosexual couples. He said, "I think that is a reasonable thing to do, to give recognition to the fact that there is a relationship there." Openly gay senator from West Australia Brian Gregg of the strongly gay-supportive third-party Australian Democrats called Beazley's remarks hypocritical, underscored the Democrats' advocacy for equal treatment, and called for enactment of the party's federal sexuality discrimination bill. Openly gay senator from Tasmania Dr. Bob Brown of the strongly gay-supportive Green Party said the Prime Minister had been left in the wash of a sea change that had arrived a long time ago.
The U.S. Senate's most vocal homophobe, Republican Jesse Helms of North Carolina, announced this week that he will not run again in 2002, citing his age. Helms will turn 80 in October and has had major health problems. He's now in his 5th 6-year term in the Senate, having never won more than 55% of the vote in any election. He's led almost every anti-gay campaign in the federal legislature for nearly 30 years, including homophobic attacks on the National Endowment for the Arts and AIDS funding.
Demanding that society accept as normal a lifestyle that most of the world's religions consider immoral and which the average American voter instinctively finds repulsive.
Currently, he's leading the move to ensure public school access to the Boy Scouts of America, despite their policy of excluding gays.
I call it standing up for America's traditional family values.
He's also believed to have played a key role in the loss of the International Lesbian and Gay Association's hard-won consultative status with the United Nations. Helms publicly called openly lesbian Clinton nominee Roberta Actenberg a damn lesbian and a mean lesbian, although she went on to become the first open lesbian or gay ever to win Senate confirmation to a federal post, Assistant Secretary of Housing in the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Helms' opposition led Clinton to drop his 1994 plans to nominate open gay James Hormel to serve as ambassador to Fiji, although later Helms stood aside from the long battle that ended in Hormel's interim appointment without confirmation to Luxembourg as the first openly gay U.S. ambassador.
Republican President George W. Bush, in a statement this week, called Helms a true gentleman who has always remained true to his conservative principles. Bush added, "I have no doubt we will continue to seek his counsel as a senior statesman." Veteran North Carolina lesbian activist and former human rights campaign staffer Mandy Carter told the Washington Blade of Helms' pending retirement, "This is truly historic, but it may be a mistake to say he is unique and no one else will be like him."
In other U.S. political news, openly gay Democratic Rhode Island State Representative Mike Piscitello is taking the first steps towards a run to become the state's Secretary of State. Piscitello is an AIDS activist who's been a strong advocate for gay and lesbian civil rights, including civil marriage rights. He's forming a campaign staff and beginning to raise funds, and says that if he can raise the money to run a viable campaign, he'll make a formal announcement of his candidacy for Secretary of State within the next few months. Only one open gay or lesbian in the U.S. has ever won general election to a statewide office, former Vermont State Auditor Ed Flanagan.
Virginia has its first openly gay major party nominee for a seat in the state legislature, and he's a Republican. Danny Smith will be running in November against Democratic incumbent Robert Hull for the 38th District seat in the House of Delegates. Smith is a federal government worker who served under both the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations.
Northern Ireland's Human Rights Commission this week issued a major report documenting extensive discrimination against lesbian gays in the province's laws and policies. The report, called Enhancing the Rights of Lesbian, Gay, and Bisexual People in Northern Ireland, was compiled for the commission by the University of Ulster. It found discrimination in criminal law, taxation, social security, immigration, employment, education, health care, and housing. The commission called on both the British government and the Northern Ireland Assembly for sweeping legal reforms towards equal treatment. The commission also called for legal recognition of gay and lesbian couples, noting with special concern that same-gender partners are not legal parents, to the detriment of children. The Workers' Party immediately endorsed the report and called on other political parties to follow suit. In addition to the Human Rights Commission's review, a report now being drafted by Northern Ireland's Social Services Inspectorate called the levels of social intolerance towards gay and bisexual men in Northern Ireland startling in its raw viciousness and ignorance.
Also in the UK, Wales's National Assembly has joined with Stonewall Cymru to establish the Lesbian Gay Bisexual Forum Cymru to combat discrimination. The forum will be officially launched in the coming week by the chair of the National Assembly's Equal Opportunities Commission. Forum co-chair John Sam Jones said, "The LGB Forum can achieve landmark changes in the lives of lesbians and gay men in Wales by providing a national voice that will articulate the concerns and needs of the LGB community to the National Assembly and to every other public body in Wales. From today, lesbians and gay men in Wales are destined to be dealt with fairly and without discrimination." One 1994 study suggested that gays in Wales are 7 times more likely to commit suicide than those elsewhere in the UK.
The BBC's Radio 1 has been broadcasting a Jamaican reggae song whose chorus calls for burning gay men alive. The song is Chichi Man, a derogatory term for gay men, by the Jamaican group known as TOK, or Touch of Class. TOK members insist they intend the term to refer to all corrupt people, although they admit they view homosexuality as a form of corruption. Radio 1's Ian Parkinson told reporters the song, which has topped the charts in Jamaica for 13 weeks, has almost become an unofficial national anthem for some people in Jamaica, and for a specialist reggae show not to play it, I think would be a distortion. Ironically, it was a documentary about Jamaica on the BBC's Radio 4 called The Roots of Homophobia that drew attention to the song's encouragement of anti-gay violence. In the last 10 years, at least 38 Jamaicans have died from homophobic violence, and Jamaican gay activist Ian McKnight believes that 2 of those deaths can be directly traced to the song.
There were anti-gay hate attacks in August in Copenhagen and Jerusalem. Despite Denmark's history of tolerance, young men described by reporters as immigrants threw bottles and stones at Copenhagen Pride marchers, resulting in 2 injuries requiring treatment and 1 arrest. In Israel, vandals burned the rainbow flag at the Gay and Lesbian Jerusalem Open House on the eve of a first visit there by the city's mayor. The vandals left a note reading, "God will humiliate those that have pride." It was the 3rd attack on the center in the last 3 months. Mayor Ehud Umert went ahead with his visit and denounced the attack as a barbaric act that should be condemned.
And finally, political speech took a very odd turn this week in Germany, as a member of an anti-gay party announced he had copyrighted the phrase Berlin's new gay mayor used in Coming Out. Interim Mayor Klaus Wowereit publicly identified himself as a gay man for the first time when speaking to his Social Democratic Party in June, just days before his election by Berlin's legislature. He said, "I'm gay and it's good that way," also translated as, "and that's a good thing." The phrase quickly came into popular use throughout Germany. When one pundit commented that rights to the phrase could be very profitable, Christian Democratic Union Member of Parliament Siegfried Helias seized the opportunity. Helias hopes to make commercial use of the phrase, but said he would not take legal action should Wowereit use it again, especially in campaigning for elections in October. The campaign manager for Wowereit's party commented that widespread use of the slogan is only good for us.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 25th, 2001. Written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Some uppity blues women take traditional American music in a new direction, and two new artists put their own slant on the meaning of pop. They're all part of the words and music in this month's audio file, which will open in a few minutes after some other entertainment news. The new romantic comedy, All Over the Guy, is the latest offering from rising director Julie Davis and producer Don Roos, the gay writer-director of The Opposite of Sex. The glue that really holds this snappy boy-meets-boy movie together, however, is its writer and star, Dan Bukatinsky. This Way Out's Steve Pride has some preview clips and is all over Bukatinsky.
Boy meets boy on a blind date in the new romantic comedy, All Over the Guy. Boy number one is a neurotic gay writer named Eli.
He hated me. It was like I activated his gag reflex. That is the last time I let you fix me up. You got that? Take it in. Next date I go on is going to cost me $2 for the first minute, $1.50 traditional minute.
Boy number two is a handsome schoolteacher named Tom.
Oh, come on. It'll be so much better next time.
There won't be a next time. Unless his name is Ben, Jerry, or Jose Cuervo.
Uh-huh. Like you haven't already had those guys. And they're brothers. Haven't you ever wondered what it's like to be with the same guy for more than, oh, I don't know, 5 minutes?
I mean, the guys I meet, 5 minutes is all it takes.
I am Dan Bukatinsky. I play Eli in All Over the Guy, and I wrote the screenplay based on my play, I Know You Are, But What Am I, and produced the film as well. The play was about a straight couple. It was a two-character, one-act that I performed with an actress for about 6 months, and then I thought about adapting it into a screenplay and into a film, and I sort of didn't want to see it fall into the same pool of big-budget romantic comedies that we keep seeing one after the other. And I sort of thought that America was ready to embrace a film that just happened to be about two guys that were gay, but was really just about relationships and the angst and the humor and the drama and hilarity that ensues with blind dates and being fixed up and your parents leaving testicular self-exam messages on your answering machine.
Hello, Mom, it's me.
Who?
Eli.
Eli, oh, well, are we screening?
Yeah, no, I wasn't, actually. We just got in.
We? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Can I call you back?
Do we have company?
Yes.
Jewish?
No, but...
Cute?
Will you stop?
Wear a condom.
Oh, God, Mom, no, it's not like...
You hear the stuff about the PSE?
Did you hear what I was talking about?
Yeah, we both did. Thanks.
Maybe you could both do it together, then. Nothing wrong with helping each other with a testicular exam.
Mom.
Don't be shy.
I gotta call you later, okay?
Wait, honey.
Please, hold on for a second.
Call me tomorrow morning. Goodbye. Between 6:50 and 7.
God.
Tom, the object of Eli's affection, is played by Richard Ruccolo, best known for his role in the television sitcom Two Guys and a Girl.
Tom is a complex character who's kind of tortured by him growing up and seeing his parents and their relationship and how he perceives love, which is pretty much fighting and just not getting along and treating each other badly. no one ever taught Tom love. So he goes through life with kind of a compulsive attitude, whether it's drinking or smoking or anything. But anytime he feels close to something that feels safe or rings anything similar to a relationship, he shies away because it's territory that he doesn't know. And what he doesn't know, he's very afraid of.
What is so wrong with taking things slow? Huh? Why does it always have to be all or nothing with you? I don't know. All right, fine. Then maybe we should cool it off for a while. No, I like you. I do.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to have a good time. That's all. I don't want to make this intense thing. And you seem to want this. I don't know. What do you want?
So do Tom and Eli live happily ever after? You'll have to buy a ticket to find out, but it is a romantic comedy. I should mention that All Over the Guy has an amazing cast, including Christina Ricci as Eli's sister, Joanna Kearns as Tom's mother, Lisa Kudrow, Doris Roberts, and the amazing Andrea Martin as Eli's psychiatrist mother, who in one scene shares her opinion on the ins and outs of another gay film.
Oh, Eli, what is this?
I'm gay.
I hate this. David, come in here. You won't believe what they're showing again, honestly. Like, we're supposed to believe this. Look at this. They're showing it again. That this woman's going to fall in love with a middle-aged, homophobic, self-hating teacher who's only now discovered he's gay.
We hated this movie.
I don't think so.
Change the channel.
Dan Bukatinski has shared domestic bliss for 8 years with out and proud Don Ruse, writer and director of The Opposite of Sex. But according to Bukatinski, that road's not as easy when you're both a writer and a leading man.
I'm in Out magazine this month, and they call me an openly gay actor. I certainly didn't set out to be one way or the other. I set out to be an actor, and I always sort of continue on with this belief that to be an actor, to be an effective actor, the best case scenario was always to not tell anybody your age, your religion, your political affiliations, or your orientation, so that you literally can show up to every day on every set as a clean slate. Now, whether or not you can actually do that or not is a matter of luck and circumstance. As a writer who's telling a personal story in this particular romantic comedy, which has gay characters in it and comes from a lot of it is personal. So I couldn't separate one from the other. I sort of like philosophically and politically don't believe that actors should talk about anything in their personal life, from their age to what they shop for. But in this case, because of the other hats I wear, it became a byproduct of it. And I will either never be allowed to play another character again other than a gay character, or people will be more open-minded. The remaining closet in Hollywood is that of the actor. And there are less openly gay actors than there should be. But that's just a byproduct of the sort of closed-mindedness of people in the casting world. And it's another barrier to get through. And I can always employ myself, so I can play as diverse range of characters that I'd like to play if I write them for myself. So I'm sort of hoping that I can swim upstream in that battle and still come out ahead. I'm hoping.
According to Dan Bukatinski, a gay actor brings something special to a gay role that an out heterosexual cannot.
I think that it's less believable when you know for a fact that they're straight guys. I mean, there's no part of you that even is willing to entertain the possibility that they could be gay. You're losing a little bit of credibility. I think that it's fun to fantasize that our romantic movie heroes could be one way or the other, and you don't really know for sure. I think the best thing, I don't know whether Tom Cruise is gay or straight, and I think that's the best thing for his career. I think the best thing for Tom Cruise's career is that the gay community could be convinced that he's gay, and the straight community is convinced that he's straight, and he could play whatever he wants, and he's got fans in both camps. I think he's playing it exactly right. Now, whether or not, you know, if you're a gay actor and you are not talking about your personal life, I think that that's a decision that should be respected. I think gay actors who come out and completely lie about who they are and create complete false lives, I find that sad, only because it's a very difficult thing probably to go home and lead a life that is, you know, it's like Anne Frank. You know, you're waiting for the Gestapo the whole time.
For the writer and star of All Over the Guy, the message of the film is simple.
One of the things that is really important about a movie that is trying to assimilate as many different kinds of people into one contemporary and universal story is not the things that make us all different, but are the things that make us the same. And if there's anything that we can take away from it, I think, is that whoever you are, you're not alone.
This has been a conversation with actor Richard Rucolo and writer-actor-producer Dan Bugatinsky. All Over the Guy was directed by Julie Davis and also stars Sasha Alexander, Adam Goldberg, Christina Ricci, Lisa Kudrow, Doris Roberts, Andrea Martin, and Joanna Kearns. It is a Lionsgate release. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Every kiss is a revolution. Every day I walk thin ice, knowing what's been given freely, knowing I might pay a price. And every kiss is a revolution. Every day I walk a line.
I'm diddly-dee, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well. Join Greg and Lucia each week for This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine right here on this station.
The showpiece of the homosexual movement in the United States.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
The music of all three of this month's audiophile picks has roots that run deep in a variety of styles, including blues, Broadway, folk, pop, and rock. But these recently released CDs and the artists who created them have something quite new to say as well.
I'm late, but I rate. Stop this talk so I can tell you off. Ain't no use, I'm about to get loose, and I ain't gonna hush. Well, you told me, honey, hush, but I ain't gonna shut my mouth. You told me, honey, hush, but I ain't gonna shut my mouth. You put down that bat and come on in this house.
Our flavor is that of those great blues divas of the 1920s. We've evolved from Bessie Smith and Ida Cox and Sippy Wallace and Ma Rainey and those great women, those great independent spirits of the 20s.
Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, gives a feminist spin to a traditional American music genre. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Founding member of Sapphire, Gay Adegbolola, came out in 1999 at age 56.
For much of my life, I taught school and in conservative Fredericksburg, Virginia. So therefore, I was more than closeted. Girl, I was locked up and thrown away the key. So now I'm strutting out there. And yes, indeed, I can write a song like Sharon Bottoms.
Well, Sharon didn't hide in the closet. You know she didn't run for cover. Well, because she loved a woman, they called her an unfit mother.
You will find a wealth of information about Sapphire at www.uppityblueswomen.com.
Spoon is a folk pop slumber party. It's all about intimacy with friends, where you can share all your crushes and giggle about it. And you can also share something painful and tender and get comfort for it.
Don't have a photograph of Jane, but I keep all these memories in my brain. And I call them up every once in a while, but sometimes they're misfiled under pain. And I try, 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 try to do what's healthy, to what's right for me, but I get so confused between what my attraction faction wants and what my inner child needs.
Amy Fix, on her debut CD Spoon, uses her sometimes quirky humor to remember the pains and joys of high school and to heal and comfort our struggles. And she's not afraid of writing out lyrics, like on the song Beautiful Dyke Ways.
Beautiful Dyke Ways is like a femme's love letter to a butch. It's just a pretty little song, and it's dedicated to all the butches who love Julie Andrews.
Belt buckle, t-shirt, strong arm next to delicate features. Finger spread strong to push through hair. She had beautiful dyke ways. Don't ever change your beautiful dyke ways.
Find out more about Amy Fix and Spoon at www.amyfix.com.
Anthony Rapp originated the role of Mark Cohen in the hit Broadway musical Rent, and now he's released his debut solo CD, Look Around.
I would say that my music is pop music, but it's guitar-based pop music, so it has kind of a rock and roll edge to it sometimes. And it's not pop music like bubblegum pop music, so it's sort of alternative pop music in a way. So I sometimes say alternapop, but that's not like an official label that the industry has embraced yet.
In addition to the edgy alternative pop, the CD, Look Around, also features some sweet ballads.
So he's holding me in his arms, and he's giving me sweet little kisses, and he's telling me he'll never harm me, and he's whispering how wonderful this is, and I tell him that I love him, and I tell him I'll be true, and I've said these things to other boys, but right now the old words feel so new. And I ask him, how did I get so lucky? I didn't even have to try.
Didn't even have to try.
I don't know, he says. I'm nothing special. I'm just some guy.
You can find out more about Anthony Rapp and his CD, Look Around, at www.anthonyrapp.com. That's Anthony, RAPP.com.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at P.O. Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041, or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, Christopher David Trentum, and J.D. Doyle. This is Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
He says, I'm nothing special. I'm just some guy. And I say, your heart is so big, and your mind so alive. Your mind's so alive. You have passion and freedom and vision and drive. You have so much to give, and you give it with.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Chris Ambidge, Jason Lynn, Brian Nunes, Rex Walkner, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. David Brown performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For an urgent message about This Way Out's critical financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on more than 125 community radio stations around the world through our program distribution in North America on the U.S. public radio satellite system, in Europe via the London-based World Radio Network, down under through the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's ComradSat, through online station distribution via radioforall.net, and on global shortwave station RFPI, Radio for Peace International, and of course on this local community radio station. The whole world's gonna stay tuned.